Let's pray. Let's just pray. Father God, we're reminded again of just how many people have lost their lives in conflict. We had our Remembrance Sunday a little while ago, and today we remember again vast numbers of people falling into eternity. And although we're having a time of open prayer, Father, I also just take this opportunity to pray for the families of Russian soldiers being fed almost like meat into a machine. Thousands losing their lives, of people in the Ukraine losing their lives. But today we come to remember the one who gave his life in order that we might live. So as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, Father God, help us, speak to us. Help me to speak your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, moving to a slightly different sort of character. I've watched the film with Desmond Doss, and it is really very, very moving. His resilience to say, however you treat me, I'm determined to do the work of a medic. And I think not just in the film, but I think in life, he even saved some of the people who were particularly harsh and cruel to him in his training. Well, we know that the Christmas story is a story where some people had to handle tremendous uncertainty, and not least Joseph and Mary. And so today I just want to share with you a few thoughts, particularly about Joseph. Now, I wonder who had a dream last night. I'm not going to ask you to tell us what it was, but who had a dream last night? Anyone? Yes, some of you had dreams. I very rarely remember my dreams, but dreams are important. And I'm just going to remind you of some dreams that Joseph had that were very, very important in his watching over Mary and getting Jesus safely, eventually, to Egypt. Now, it is interesting how when you compare the story of Joseph, who is the sort of stepfather, if you like, of the Lord Jesus, not his natural father, because we know Jesus was born of the Virgin, but we see in the life of Joseph some real parallels with the Joseph who appeared much, much earlier in biblical history, the Joseph who was thrown by his brothers into a pit and who found his way to Egypt and invites the people of Israel, his father and family, to come and live in Egypt at the time of a great famine. Well, we don't know a great deal about the Joseph who was to marry Mary. We do know a bit more about the other Joseph. And what we know is that God watched over him. He trusted God despite being treated very, very badly by his brothers. And we know that one of the things that triggered their hatred was, in fact, his dreams. And he had this dream, didn't he, of the sheaves of corn bowing down, and sun and the moon bowing down, and understood that that would mean his brothers would eventually need to accept his authority. Even his mother and father would accept his authority. But when he shared this, perhaps foolishly, but when he shared this they were not particularly happy. And we know how they turned against him. But we also know that when he comes to the end of his story, he says something like this. He said, God meant it for good. What you planned and what you schemed was for evil. You hated me and you wanted to get rid of me. But God was actually working in all of this. And with our Joseph, the one who is going to care for Mary, again, God is working it all out for good. Joseph, I guess like a number of men, was looking for a wife. And his heart was set upon Mary. We don't read a lot of romance in the scripture, but we do from time to time read passages that have quite a strong romantic edge to them. And I've no doubt that Joseph really loved Mary. Now, the first stage of marriage would be to just get the approval of the parents. And so Joseph must have done that. Mary must have done that. And that was announced, yes, we support this. We believe this is a good thing. The second stage towards a final wedding would be what we call engagement, betrothal. But that was an exceedingly important stage in Jewish culture. And even in our culture, some years ago, if you were saying, I am engaged, you were pretty well locked in. You know, you wouldn't be changing your mind. You would accept that this is leading to a day when I will marry. Now, I told you earlier that I could take you to the very spot in Falmer, in the college, teacher training college, it's now a university. I can take you to the very spot where I asked Elaine to marry me. And we had that moment, and I remember it well. Anyway, the point is this, although that was between Elaine and myself, that was not something that everybody else knew about too soon. But a time would come when we would be telling everyone we are taking the step of marriage. And October 27th, I must get this right, 1973, that was when we married. Now, Joseph was in that in-between stage. Parents' approval, he had agreed, betrothal, the scene was all being set. And it's at this point, some pretty devastating and unusual news comes to Joseph. And the news is that Mary is saying, I am pregnant. And she undoubtedly went on to say, look, God appeared to me through an angel, and the angel declared that I was chosen to bear the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, we can also assume that Mary, but also Joseph, were a godly young couple. When I say young, I'm not quite sure how old Joseph was. There's much more evidence that Mary was quite young. But anyway, they were both reasonably young. And hearing that news must have shaken and tested their faith. Because our faith is based in the Lord, but we live in a world where people have their assessments, their values, their ideas, their way of looking at things. And we know that sometimes it's not always helpful when people say, but God has told me. Sometimes we can discern and receive God has spoken, like I was sharing about Steve, sharing his heart to want to come and lead the ministry. Now, I believe God was in that, but someone else could say it and you might sense, God hasn't said that to me. You know, I'm not actually discerning that. But Mary and Joseph, they know the law, They know God's values and standards. They know that intimacy is confined to marriage. And therefore, you know, it's a big dilemma. Is this really God? Because this isn't normal. But what we understand is that Joseph comes to a place where he believes it is God. And it was through a dream, wasn't it? It's the first dream that he has this dream, and God says, don't be afraid to move to the third, the final stage. Don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. Now, he had thought before that dream, well, maybe I could just divorce her quietly, and in the end, people will just forget all about the fact that we were due to be married. But God steps in and says, I understand that line of thinking, but don't do it. Don't be afraid. Take Mary to be your wife. Now, of course, paralleling that with us is not particularly easy. It was a very unique situation. And yet at the same time, there are situations where God is saying, trust me. Trust me. Even if it appears unusual, even if it appears something which others will certainly not be happy about, will have all sorts of questions and muttering about as to what's really going on. But there are times when God does call us to say, trust me. The circumstances, what we're handling, may all cry out to say, this is ridiculous. But trust me, says God. And Joseph trusted God, and he went ahead and married Mary. Now again, our God is so practical, because when the news has come to Mary and Joseph understands what's going on, as best he could, Mary goes to see Elizabeth, her cousin. Now that meant that she was in an environment that was not having wagging tongues. She was out of the local scene in Nazareth, and she was able to, as it were, get on with life to some degree. Wasn't that a great provision of God? Elizabeth was not only taking her to a different village, a different environment, but Elizabeth was also she'd conceived a child when she was pretty old. And that seemed to be a bit of a miracle in itself. But Elizabeth and Mary have a very good relationship. And so Joseph knows that she's in good hands with Elizabeth, and those early months of pregnancy are kind of protected sovereignly, that the people who are with Elizabeth won't be wagging their tongues and pointing their fingers. They would allow this pregnancy to develop. So Joseph, his obedience is really, really good. And Joseph is also going to undertake a journey to Bethlehem. Because while all this is going on, the Romans have decided they want to have a census. I love history too, by the way. The Romans have decided they're going to have a census. The way they conduct it, we're rather grateful that we don't have our elections conducted in the same way. Because the way it was conducted was you had to go back to where you were born. And that was where you registered. So I don't know how far some of you would have to travel if a census or election time, you had to go back to where you were born. It might be a sizable journey. But anyway, they went to Bethlehem. But again, that's all in the providence of God, because Micah had prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Now again, that was not, as it were, a popular choice. If you had had a poll as to where you think it would be good for the Messiah to be born, I'm pretty sure that Bethlehem would be low on the list. But it's what God wanted. So the Christmas story is all about what God wants, all about what God is planning and our necessity to trust him. It doesn't mean that anybody who comes up and says, I'm pregnant and it's a sovereign act and no one's been involved, that we say, oh yeah, that must be true. Of course we still have wisdom. Of course we still discern. Of course we still recognize that some people are fabricating, they're not telling the truth. However, we must not get into that attitude whereby we miss something that God is sovereignly saying. And sometimes God is saying things that don't add up to our human brain, but nevertheless, his will is unfolding. So Joseph takes Mary to Bethlehem. Now again, he does care about Mary. He cares about Mary, and he knows the journey to Bethlehem. Again, if you look it up in detail and study it, it is not an easy journey. You know, it's not like just sort of going down the road into Brighton. But I understand today that won't be an easy journey either, because Brighton are playing at home, but never mind. But the thing is, this was not an easy journey. This was a dangerous journey. And she is 8.5 months pregnant, because it wouldn't be a journey that they could make in a day. It would take some time. But Joseph, again, and Mary are trusting God. Humanly speaking, it's the worst time to make a long journey. I know there are some women who like to be taken out in the car and bumped around or whatever, you, hoping that it will speed up the coming of the baby. But that isn't a mentality that Mary is understanding at all. This is putting her and the baby potentially in great danger. But again, if you're in the will of God, you will see his protection. Sometimes people used to say to me, well, you know, you're going into Pakistan, that's very dangerous. Well, it was. You're going into the Congo, that's very dangerous. And so it was. But I always looked at it by saying this: am I in the will of God? And if I'm in the will of God, he will take care of me. But if I've just made up my mind, oh, I'd like to do this, whatever, well, then that's another matter. But in the will of God, even what seems to be a precarious and difficult journey, God will be with us. And he's been with you as a church. I've known this church for a long, long time, must be over 20 years. And I know some of the journey that you've taken. You thought you were going to have a building on the estate up the road, and that didn't come to anything. God bless you with the grocery shop. Do you still have that? Yep, good. So you've got plenty of sprouts for Christmas coming up then. But the point is this: God is with you on the journey. And you've had pastors come and pastors go, and I understand you've got another pastor coming. That's great. That's all part of the journey. But you've had to trust God. I'm sure there must be times when people thought, is it worth carrying on? But no, this is what God's called you to do, and you will stick with the Lord in the journey. And we pray that the journey now is going to open up a chapter in the life of this church that will be fresh, powerful, and see growth and impact in the area. But I'd still like to come, please. Anyway, Mary and Joseph trusting God, obedient to God. Well, the second dream comes a little later. Joseph has Mary, they have the baby Jesus, they've had the visit of the shepherds, which was absolutely amazing, because the shepherds were saying what in fact Mary had already heard, but shepherds, rough guys, coming out of the hills, declaring, we believe the Messiah, Christ the Lord, has been born, and he's right in front of you in this probably stable environment. They had the visit of the kings. Again, we don't know everything about them. We assume three because of three gifts, but there might have been an entourage. But never mind. They had certainly seen these visitors bow down and worship the baby. This was no sort of holding a little baby, a kind of goo goo goo, you know, that sort of emotional response. But this is an engagement with someone that they truly believe is a king, and they worship him. And the presents that they bring, the gold, the frankincense and myrrh, well, we just had our 11th grandchild born, and I don't think their parents would have been over impressed if we bought gold, frankincense and myrrh, or possibly with the gold. But the point is this: they bring gifts that indicate their understanding of who this baby is that they are visiting. And again, we give gifts to Jesus. We give him our lives, we sacrifice, we lay down our lives to say, Jesus, you are the one who rules and reigns. We want to do your will. And the world looks at us and says, you're crazy. You know, you're really hard up. You're struggling to find funds for Christmas and you're still tithing. You know, that's ridiculous. Well, it isn't ridiculous, because that's what God requires us to do, to be faithful in our giving. And the treasurer didn't ask me to make that plug, by the way. But no, we still need to maintain those disciplines, that sacrifice, that worship. But in the midst of all this, Joseph has another dream. And the second dream, the Lord speaks to him through the dream and says, get out of here fast. You know, you haven't got time to pack much. You haven't got time to think about it. Now, get out. And if you read the passage, that is exactly how it comes across. Get on with it. Read again, chapter 2 of Matthew. And so Joseph obeys. You have to really trust God in these circumstances. Can you think of the human rationale that would go into, well, can't we just have one more night? You know, can't we just get a few more things ready? They didn't have that luxury. They were told, now, come on, out, now. And where do they go? Well, they go to Egypt, which, of course, is where the other Joseph, way back in Genesis, had also gone. And he went in a time of affliction, and we know how God opened up the way that he is able to provide for the people of Israel. This Joseph is going to Egypt for safety. Quite remarkable, isn't it? Because Egypt, at the end of the period of Israel, was not a place of safety. It was a place of slavery. They were made slaves by the Egyptians. But here, Egypt is a safe place to go. And again, I think that just emphasizes that safety is not necessarily to do with geography, but it's simply to do, again, with being where God wants you to be. God said, go to Egypt. Now, there were other countries around, but God said, Egypt is where I want you to go. And so, when God called you, and God told you, this is to be your church, this is to be your Egypt, it's not a place of slavery and bondage, it is a place of refuge, this is where I want you to serve. And it's important to hear that and to have that reinforced in our hearts and spirit. We are here not because we love this hall, not because of anything else other than we have the sense this is where God wants us to be. And that makes all the difference. It makes all the difference on a miserable Sunday morning. It makes all the difference when the projectors don't work and the electrics don't function and all of that. Because we're here primarily because we believe this is where God has called us to be with his people to worship. So Joseph gets Mary and the baby Jesus, and they just get out of it and they go to Egypt. And we know that that's when Herod has this awful, awful evil come over him to kill baby boys under a certain age in Bethlehem. And again, as we come, I was reading this morning that apparently Christmas celebrations will be able to take place in Bethlehem this year. In other words, they consider it's reasonably safe for pilgrims to come and do that. But we know there have been years where they've said, this is not a good place to come. We really don't think we should be carrying on in the way we've done year after year. Anyway, the important thing, being in the center of God's will, doing what God says. And we know that in that situation, there was a massive, massive intervention of God because of all those babies that would lose their lives. And again, don't want to dwell on it unduly, but it is horrific, isn't it, how babies still are attacked today. When you read what happened between Israel and Hamas and all of that, again, babies beheaded. I mean, it's unthinkable, but it isn't just about centuries ago. That was in comparatively recent history. And still today, abortion. I know that can be a sensitive subject, but the number of babies that are killed in the womb in our nation alone. Anyway, Joseph and Mary go to Egypt. But while they're in Egypt, this is the third dream. And I'm going to be finishing very soon. But this is the third dream. And God speaks to Joseph and says, you can go back to Israel. You can go back to, well, not to Bethlehem, go back to Nazareth. Because the ones who sought to kill the child are dead. Now, again, that's a sobering and challenging thought. Where is Amin today? He's dead. Where is Gaddafi today? He's dead. And we could go through a number of influential figures in history. Where is Hitler today? Long dead. Many, many people who were the voice of evil and creating so many different things. President Putin, he's still alive, but one day he'll be dead. All of the people that we can think of who've stirred up tremendous hatred, they don't live forever. And what happens when they're dead? They face God. They may have escaped firing squads, they may have escaped justice, but they don't escape God. And we know that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But it does have to be repentance. The thief on the cross, it wasn't just convenience. Oh, well, you know, I've heard that Jesus is, well, even over his cross, I can see Jesus, the King of the Jews. It wasn't that. There was something that changed in his heart. And if we want to avoid the wrath of God, we must receive Jesus as our Savior with a repentant heart, a genuine desire to turn from sin and to follow Jesus. Well, Joseph hears, you are to take Mary and Joseph back to Israel. And they obey and they go. It's a journey. Joseph's dreams are all prompting obedience against the odds. Faith, trusting God, not because everything is abundantly clear, but God has spoken, and if he's spoken, we will do what he says. And that's the call upon our lives today. That's the call upon our lives as we move towards another Christmas. Are we willing to do what God says? Whatever he says, do it. Do you remember that was Mary speaking at Cana at the wedding? Whatever he says, do it. Joseph, for all that we don't know about him, we believe that the thing that was most significant, he obeyed God. He did what God had said. He trusted what God said. Whatever people said, whatever the circumstances, whatever journey he would have to undertake, upteen reasons as to why he should not do whatever God was saying. But he said, no, God has said, I will trust him. And that's what I want to share with you today. Trusting in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the story of Joseph. We do thank you for his incredible obedience. When everything might have shouted at him to not do what you said, he obeyed and did what you said. Lord, you have said to us, trust in you, the Lord, and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths. Father, let that be true for each one of us individually, but let it also be true for your people as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.